I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on Him, they are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds His saints. He will deliver them. We'll deliver them.
Be seated. Thank you, choir. That anointed music. Is good. When I got saved in 1996 and I experienced the love of God and I experienced the new birth, the day I got saved and the day after I got saved and probably several days, I said, I never knew it would be like this. I tasted and seen that He's better than what everybody said He was. It was better than I ever imagined. To know Him and to make Him known is the perfect will of God, to know Christ and to make Him known to a lost and a dying world. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our children's church, age 5 to 12, all the children, age 5 to 12. Before I read my text this morning, I want to say that if you would like to be on the text list, if you'll write your name and phone number on a piece of paper, hand it to me, I'm going to put you on our church list where you'll get all the announcements. Then if you want to be on the prayer chain, there's a couple of you that have requested to be on the prayer chain. We're about to add you and others. If you want to be on the prayer chain, we have about 10 team captains. They send me the request. I send it to them. My wife sends it to them, and then they send it out to all each one that's under them. And there's about 120, 130 on the prayer chain. You have 120, 130 people praying, and at one moment, one time, I'll tell you something, things happen. We've had testimony after testimony of miracles because of the prayer chain. So if you want to be on the prayer chain, if you'll let us know. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter number 3. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 3. In verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You again for the opportunity to gather in this sanctuary to worship with those of like precious faith. Lord, this is Your body, Harvest Time Church, Your body. Lord, I'm asking You that You would put us together as You want us to be together. Let every person find their role within the body of Christ. I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to us by Your Spirit this morning. Let the Word of God become alive to us. I'm asking You, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay. Anoint every ear we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us. I pray You'd change us and transform us by the power of the Spirit of the living God. And everyone said, amen. Taking my text from verse number 19, he says, and this is condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I'm going to preach to you this morning on getting used to the dark. You know, I can remember as a little boy, I was completely, totally, and utterly afraid of the dark. Why was that? Because I could not see what was going on in the dark. I didn't know what was behind the curtain. I didn't know if there was a boogeyman underneath the bed. I didn't know if there was a murderer in the closet. I didn't know if there was a kidnapper roaming my house. You know how it is. You remember back to when you were a child. You wanted that nightlight. You didn't like the lights to go out. Why is that? Because we don't know what's going on in the darkness. When the lights would go out, I still remember freezing. I still remember my heart beating out of my chest. I didn't want to tell my older brother that was on the top bunk that I was afraid, because he would use it against me later on in front of my friends. But I would freeze. My heart would pound out of my chest, and I was terrified. You know, I had a plan. It would begin to go through my mind. If a bad man came in the house, I'd either act like I was asleep, play dead. That's plan A. But plan B was get out of Dodge quick, every man for himself. I still remember thinking those thoughts. Why? Because I was afraid. Something I noticed, though, when the lights went out, I could not see anything. I couldn't see even my hand in front of my face at times. But the longer I laid there, and I began to look around, my eyes begin to adjust to the dark. You know what I'm talking about when you're in that darkness. And before long, as my eyes begin to adjust to that dark, I begin to see things. I was making out silhouettes of different things in that room, and I my imagination went wild. I'm wondering, is that something that I think it is? And then the light to my eyes, some of y'all are smiling because you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you, my eyes would begin to adjust to the dark. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, I could see really good. I could see really good everything there. I want someone to turn off these back two lights. And Josiah Hamby, can you turn off that light right there? Just for a few minutes. It's not pitch dark, but it's enough darkness. Now, I want you to notice. Now, we have the light back here. But I want you to notice that you can still see, but you're not going to be able to see as good as you can in just a few minutes. That's exactly how it is when we begin to get used to the dark. The human eye is an incredible thing. It has a remarkable ability to adapt to darkness. You're going to see that. You've noticed it throughout your lifespan on this planet. Your eyes begin to slowly adjust to the darkness. Listen, I'm going to tell you, God has made us in a fearful, wonderful way. The great evangelist Vance Havner said this. He said, years ago, I was attending a bookseller's convention in Chicago. A friend took me out to supper in one of those restaurants below street level. Whoever operated it must have loved the darkness rather than the light. He said, I stumbled into the dim dungeon and fumbled for the chair and mumbled that I need a flashlight to read the menu. You ever been there? When the food came, he said, I ate it in faith and not by sight. But gradually, you know how it is. Mr. Vance Havner said, you sit around the dark place a while and you can begin to identify various objects. He looked at his friend and he said, I'm beginning to see. He said, isn't it strange how you can see in the dark? Isn't it strange how you get used to the dark? Well, hear me today, Harvest Time Church. Not just in the natural can we get used to the dark, but it's the same way in the spiritual. This world is wicked. It is dark. It is depravity. And we lose our spiritual discernment. We lose our sharpness in the things of God. And the things that used to bother us at one point in time, they don't bother us anymore. I'm going to tell you, it's time to turn the light on. Let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ begin to illuminate again. Lord, I don't want to get used to the dark. Help me preach, somebody. What once bothered us before, it doesn't bother us today. What once caused us to have conviction before, It doesn't convict us today. We even wonder why we ever even felt that way. We accuse it or we blame it on our spiritual maturity. Well, we've just grown in the Lord, you see. I was just really on fire for God back then. I was immature in the faith. Let me tell you something. Whenever you're talking about getting close to God, I don't believe that everything in this life is a sin, but whatever God wants me to lay down, I'll lay it down to get closer to him. Whatever would cause me to be pulled away from him, listen, I'm going to guard my soul more than anything in this world. I don't want to lose out with God. I don't want to become desensitized. Listen to me today, the enemy of our soul, because we are surrounded by darkness. We have been hypnotized, desensitized, and cauterized. That's what's going on. We are completely and totally different than what we used to be. David Wilkerson preached a message many years ago, and it was entitled, "You're Changing." You're changing. You're not what you used to be. You're not the same one. Whenever you so yearned for that prayer closet, you stood upon the word of God. You wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'd stand up in the midst of every person you knew, and you would declare the goodness of God. Come on, we need somebody again who would admit to themselves that I'm not what I used to be, but I'm going to tell you the mercy and the grace of God can bring you back today. God wants to illuminate your soul with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need discernment. I do not want to get used to the dark. When the Bible speaks of darkness, it is not a good thing. Darkness is associated with wickedness, sinful practices, something that will damn your soul to hell. In our text here, in John chapter 3, the word of the Lord says, "For God so loved the world." Aren't you glad for his love? "That he gave his only begotten son." God loved us so much, even in our sin and our wickedness, God loved us. Do you hear me? Listen to me, sinner. God still loves you. There are people who have that I have been associated with for years in this church that have gone away from God. They come under conviction, but they don't want to come back. They know how deep they've entered into sin. Let me tell you something. If there's still breath in your nostrils, God still wants to save you. All the love of God, I'll never understand his love. It goes so deep, the human mind cannot even begin to comprehend nor explain the love of God. He loved this world so much that he sent his son. And we read in verse 19, and this is condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is condemnation, that the light exposed them and they rejected it. Do you hear me? What's going to condemn humanity is not just the sins of man, but the very fact that they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine someone giving you an opportunity to escape a nuclear attack and you completely and totally resist it? Listen to me today. If you do not come by the way of the cross of Calvary, it is nothing more or less than total damnation. Jesus is light. Men rejected him. What is condemnation? That men rejected the light of the gospel of Christ. Now, I want to put this in perspective just for a moment. We have to understand that this word right here, Jesus is the manifested word. When you read the word of God, you are ingesting Christ. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." We understand that Jesus is the manifested word. So what does men resist? What do they reject? They reject the word of God. They reject truth. Why? Why is that? Because this Bible, this truth, is a light that exposes. Whenever Jesus came, He came against that religious world out there because they were religious, but they had inward sin. They so focused on the outward. Oh, but inward they were. He said, outwardly you appear beautiful, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. What we need to do is get the heart right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to say that the outside doesn't matter, because I believe that we are to look different, act different, dress different, go to different places. But I can tell you one thing, when you get that heart right with Jesus Christ, you fall in love with the Lord, you will want to do whatever He wants you to do. You will get the outside right when you get the heart right. The Word of God is like a big flashlight. It exposes, it shines the light, it tells what you really are. Oh, come on. People do not want to get right with God because they love evil. That's what the Bible says. Men do not want to come to the light because they love their darkness. Listen, you're not going to get delivered from sin whenever you're in love with your sin. You've got to hate your sin. You've got to learn to hate it. You've got to know that sin is what put Jesus on the cross. That sin is what drove the nails in His hands and in His feet. Sin is what destroys. When we get this in our mind, listen, sin is despicable in the eyes of God. Why don't men want light? Why don't they want to come to a church that exposes sin? Why don't they want to hear preaching, Holy Ghost preaching, that shines a light on their life? Because they love what they're doing. They don't want nobody telling them, you know what I say, preacher, shine the light on me. Oh, come on, preach all the Word of God. Don't hold back for nothing. I want to know what's on the inside. Expose me for what I am. Listen, sin delights in darkness. Never forget that. Sin delights in darkness. Darkness, both spiritual darkness and physical darkness, are enablers of sin. In the natural, darkness and spiritual darkness are enablers of sin. Just think about it. Sinful men and women hide their deeds in darkness. Physical darkness promotes and enables sin, providing a cover for all manner of evil deeds. That's whenever the sun goes down, the crime goes up. That's because darkness conceals the wickedness of man. Physical darkness promotes it, and spiritual darkness promotes it. While the spiritual darkness, it perpetuates evil. The kingdom of evil is built upon lies, secrets, deceitfulness, and darkness. It requires the absence of light to survive. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. It requires the absence of light to survive. What happens whenever, listen, if this place was pitch dark this morning, if these lights in this baptistry was not on, if we didn't have any light coming through this little area, lights in the back door, and it was pitch dark, do you know that one light, the light off my phone, would push back the darkness all around me? That's what light does. It pushes back the darkness. Oh, come on. Not only was Jesus the light of the world, but He said, when I leave, you are the light of the world. We are not to hide our candle under a bushel, but we're to put it on a candlestick. We are to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Oh, listen. Darkness requires the absence of light to survive. Job speaks of the condition of those in spiritual darkness in Job 24 and 13. Listen to what he says. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer is rising with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in daytime. They know not the light, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. I'm talking about darkness. Come on, somebody. We need to turn the lights back on. I don't know about these churches that have the lights off in the sanctuary. Now, we don't normally do this. If you're a newcomer, this is the first time I've ever done this, and I've been here for 23 years. But listen, whenever you have all the lights off, I'm not saying it'll damn your soul to hell, but it's kind of creepy to me. Why? Because men love darkness. No, I want the lights on. I want it brighter. Anybody that's been in my house, no, you have to almost wear sunshades to come in my house. I like it bright. I want the lights on. If you drive past Harvest Time Church at nighttime, I'm going to tell you, it is bright, and it's going to get brighter because we're going to put some more lights out. Listen, I want the would-be criminals, when they drive up, I want them to see about the 35 cameras we have on the outside of these buildings. I want them to know that we are watching you, and if you do anything, we're going to find out who you are. Listen to me today. Why? Because men love that darkness. But if you'll let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ begin to shine, it will expose those deeds. Men will either run from you or they will run to you, and you can share the love of God. Listen, we are to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. I want to walk white right. I want to live right so that Christ can be glorified. Have your eyes adjusted to the dark yet? Is it a little bit better than it was? Some say yes, some say no. You might need to check your eyes for cataracts if that's the case. Can someone turn on the lights? Your eyes will begin to adjust to the darkness. Just as surely as there is a slow, subtle process that has allowed your eyes to become accustomed to the darkness of this house today, there exists a spiritual process by which we become desensitized to sin and spiritual darkness. Little by little, the more you're around it, you become accustomed to it. You get used to that spiritual darkness. And what bothered you before, it doesn't bother you anymore. Do I have a witness in this house? Have you ever been there? You ever felt that way? Little by little, ladies and gentlemen, if we are not careful, our perception of light and darkness will begin to change. Little by little, if we do not guard ourselves, we fall subject to a simple natural law. As we expose ourselves to darkness, our spiritual perception, just as our eyesight, begins to adapt to the degree of darkness around us. Listen, it's happening everywhere around America, in every denomination. Listen, there was a time that even those listen, you pull up some of them old Baptist preachers back in the 60s. Them guys could shuck the corn. That means they could preach the house down. Some of the Methodist preachers preached, and the paint would curl off the walls with that good preaching. I'm going to tell you something. It's the same in the Pentecostal movement, the Methodist movement, the Baptist movement. Listen, we have been in this dark world, and we become accustomed to the darkness. Our world is filled with gross immorality, promiscuity, pornography, and every sin imaginable. Listen, you better guard your eyes. You better guard your mind. You better guard your ears. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. What goes in the eye and the ear gate contaminates the soul, and it will shape you into the person you're ultimately going to become. We must guard ourselves. For whatever a man thinketh on in his heart, so is he. That's why I preach against separation from this world. I don't do it because somebody preached on it a long time ago. I preach on it because I know that if I watch it, I partake in it, if I hang around it long enough, I'm going to become it. And I've got to be separated from the world. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. Paul said, come out from the world. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be unto me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We live in a world that's wicked, like it or not. In a spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah. We're there. Jesus said, speaking of the end times, right before he comes back, right before he gets the church out of here, he said this, as it were, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the last day before the Son of Man comes back. What was it like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, you read about them in Genesis 19. When the two angels came, that city, homosexuals at the gate of that city wanted to have sex with those two angels. Listen, if you read the scholars of Sodom and Gomorrah, they are the Bible scholars, they say that Sodom and Gomorrah, the majority in that city were homosexual or lesbian. Does God love them? Yes, he wants to save them. I preach the love of God, but they've got to repent. What does that mean? That means make a turn, come out of that lifestyle, and get washed in the blood. Yes, God loves all men and wants all men to come to repentance. But let me tell you what happened. Because of their wickedness, it went up to God. And there was such a cry made, a justice cry that God could not ignore. So what did he do ultimately? He got Lot and his family out of there, and he destroyed the whole city with fire and brimstone. Oh, this loving God is always loving. But he is the same as he was in the Old Testament. He may not send fire and brimstone down, but he is as just as he ever was. He still views sin the same way as he always has. And I'm going to tell you, he still has the same love for lost humanity as he always had. We think about this Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sending a warning to everyone in this house to be careful in reference to getting used to the dark. We live in a day, in an age where deviant lifestyles are celebrated and unthinkable evils are embraced. No, we can't help the world that we live in, but you can keep from being desensitized by this world. You see, Lot, that did escape the judgment of God in Genesis chapter 19, we know that he was a righteous man. You can read this about Lot. You know that he had a wife and he had daughters in that city. He was a righteous man. He made it out. But Lot we see that Lot had to have known the condition of the things in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot wasn't ignorant to what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot had to have been aware of the spiritual perversion with which he was surrounding himself. But because Lot found the scenery to be attractive, because he liked the accolades of his peers, because he esteemed to the pride and position he was afforded, he chose to tolerate the darkness of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm warning you this morning, child of God. You may be a righteous man or woman. You may be separated from this world. But don't get attracted. Don't get used to the perversion. Don't start being able to see in the dark. I believe that's exactly what happened to Lot. He chose to tolerate it. And if you tolerate it around your family, your work, or anything that you do inside your house, it won't be long, and you will be embracing it. You tolerate it, there'll come a time that you will embrace it and you will defend it. I want you to remember something very important. The book of Peter talks about Lot. It says in 2 Peter 2 and 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Lot was so vexed with their dirty mouth and all the different things they talked about, he couldn't stand it, but yet he got used to the dark. What about you? What about you? Are you getting used to things? Or are you letting some standards down? Or are you backing up from a place that you once stood in? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is what it's all about. Whenever you compromise any area that you know to be right, it won't be long and you will sell it all for a price. What we better do in this hour is get our discernment sharpened again. We got to get back to the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost convict our hearts. Listen, it doesn't matter what you think or what anybody says. All that matters is, thus saith the Word of the living God. We have to understand, yes, Lot made it out alive, but because he got used to the dark, it ended up costing him everything. We cannot afford to become like Lot. We can't afford to simply accept the condition of the world. We can't afford to become so spiritually desensitized and calloused that we are comfortable surrounding ourselves with sin and immorality that our world has embraced. Lot just learned to make peace with it. I've been asked questions with a variety of topics, what I think about this. Brother Matt, what do you think about this? What do you think I should do? Most of the time I say, listen, I'll give you biblical principles. And you have to go with what you think off the biblical principles. There are people out there, your family. Listen, your family may be lost. Are you to reject them because they're lost? No. You are to wrap your arms around them and try to pull them in. But if you ever compromise because you're trying to win them, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever compromise, it won't be long and you will sell it all for a price. Brother Matt, my family's doing this. They're drinking their alcohol. Is it okay for me to let them bring it to my house during the holidays? I look at them and say, absolutely, positively not. You better draw a line in the sand. Listen, I don't go out with anybody who drinks alcohol. I witness to them. I pray for them. I love them. But I'm not going to be at the same table with anybody who drinks alcohol. Well, listen, my grandson, he's got a homosexual lover, and I'm praying for him. I'm praying God will save them both and get them out of that lifestyle. But they want to come to Christmas at my house. Now, you do what you want to do, but I can tell you something. You let everybody else, all them children see that, it'll be a slow desensitization going on in that house. And it won't be long. They won't even think it's wrong. That's what's happened. We've hung around it long enough and we've gotten used to the dark. It doesn't matter if it's some kind of a sexual perversion or if it's adultery in the house. Well, we're dating, we're in love, and we're going to get married, preacher. Well, you better live in a different house and you better not be having premarital sex. If you die, you're going to bust hell wide open just like any reprobate or the Muslim or that Hindu world. The Bible says no adulterer in Galatians chapter 6 is going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. We got to live right according to the word of God. I know I got a spotlight I'm trying to shine across here. That's the truth of the gospel. Listen, that's the light. When you know the truth will make you free. You wonder why people are so depressed in the church world today. I'll tell you why. Because they've gotten used to the dark. They're hanging around it. You hang around the ducks long enough, you're going to start quacking like the ducks. You're going to start acting like them. We got to be separated from the world. Pray for them, witness to them, love them. Show the love of Christ. But I can tell you, it won't be long. If you stay in the midst of that wickedness, you'll get used to it. You'll become desensitized and spiritually cauterized. Lot just learned to make peace with it. He probably thought, this is just the way the world is. We got to get used to it. This is just the way it is. This is just the way it's going to be. No. Maybe that world out there, but God's called us to be different. He's called us to come out from the world. Come on. Listen, God is getting ready to rapture a church out of here. He's getting ready. Are you a child of God in this house? You're about to be raptured out of this place. Don't get used to the dark. Don't be like Lot and maybe lose your family because you begin to surround them with darkness. Or am I preaching to you this morning? What you've got to do, man of God, woman of God, you say, well, it's not sin. Well, if it can lead to sin, listen, if I think that there's some predator trying to get my kids, I'm going to go after him. Well, he hasn't done anything wrong yet. Well, I don't care if he's done anything wrong or not. I'm going to provide safety and provision for my children. That's the same way we must do in the realm of the spiritual. We are to provide safety for our families. Men of God, women of God, it's time to provide some safety. Well, it may not be directly evil. If it can lead to evil, if it can lead to danger, we are to abstain. We cannot get used to the dark. If we sit in darkness long enough, you will begin to imagine that it's getting lighter. Did you notice that? Did you notice that was getting lighter? Your eyes begin to adjust. Listen, I used to say civilization is going to the dogs. I don't say that anymore out of respect for the dogs. Amen? I'm not just the avid dog lover, but I respect them more than that. The things that are going on in society that dogs wouldn't even do. Listen to me. Back in the early 2000s, a Hollywood producer was quoted by saying this. Back in the early 2000s, he said this. He said, give us 10 years and we'll change the whole mindset of the American people. Amen. You know how he does that? Because they're the Hollywood producers. They produce the sitcoms, the movies, and the church world goes to either watch it at the movie theater or even worse than that, brings it into their house. I know this ain't popular preaching, but listen, you bring it in your house and what happens, there is a desensitization going on. You say, well, Brother Matt, I've been serving God for 30, 40 years. That's not going to affect me. You better know it is affecting you. It's going to mar those wedding garments. It's going to change your mindset. I have met more Pentecostal preachers who once stood for righteousness and separation and the truth of the light of God's word who have compromised because they're feeding. Hollywood has desensitized them. They're now accepting things that God says is an abomination. They're now accepting things that God says is sin. Oh, come on. I'm telling you today, it's a slow desensitization. I'm shocked today that I'm no longer shocked. I mean, when my kids were little and I'd see stuff out there, I was looking for a jawbone of a donkey to get after it, you know. But today, I'm like, man, this is normal. It's normal. Even in this conservative East Texas area, I'm telling you, we are living in biblical prophecy. Listen, when Jesus said, when you see these signs, do one thing. Look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. We're about to get out of this place, but you cannot allow yourself to get used to the dark. If you've ever read the second most popular book in the Christian movement that's ever been written other than the Bible is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. In Pilgrim's Progress, if you've read it, you know that when Christian and Faithful, these two young men, were at Vanity Fair, there was a strange place for those dear souls to be passing through. There wasn't any way that crowd could get along with them. And it says, when folks who ran to the fair saw their apparel and heard their speech of two pilgrims, they seemed as barbarians to each other. Basically, they were so strange, they couldn't connect with them. But it's not that way anymore. It's not that way because we are so much like the world. We connect so much with the world. Brother Matt, are you trying to say we're not to show the love of God? You've heard me say that multiple times in this message that we are to show the love of God. We are to be the light of the gospel. But I don't believe that we are to step down off of that place to try to win them. No, God has placed you not on a place of being better, but on a higher plane. Listen, I am not going to allow this world. Paul said, save yourself from this untoward generation. I'm not going to try to save others and let my kids be a sacrifice on the altar to try to save my kids or to save somebody else. First, God's called you to your house. You can explain it any way you want, but God has called you to your house. The average church member isn't shocked by the world anymore because we get along too much with the world. Tragedy becomes comedy, tolerance, acceptance, and peaceful coexistence. We get used to the dark. Black and white have become smudged to an indefinite gray. We're getting used to the dark. We've gotten used to the dark, but we can also get used to the light. Do you hear what I'm saying? It can be a bad thing when you get so used to the light of the gospel of Christ. When you become complacent. Whenever the light loses its luster, when Christ is not as beautiful as he once was, whenever you begin to take your spouse for granted, you can get in trouble in marriage. And it's the same way it's dangerous to get used to the dark, but it's also dangerous to get used to the light. You may ask yourself, how is that? Remember when Jesus said to his hometown people in Matthew 4 and 16, he said, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprung up. But what did they want to do with Jesus? What did they want to have to do with him? Nothing. He was among them. They were used to him. Matthew 11 and 23 says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, if God doesn't judge America for our wickedness, violence, abortions, sexual perversion, all forms of pornography, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, drunkenness, he said, if God doesn't judge America, he'll apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom had no Bible. They had no light. We have the light. We have the light. But we just let it go in one ear, the gospel truth, and out the other. It's a dangerous thing to reject the light. Hear me. Hear me. Those watching by Facebook, it's a dangerous thing to reject the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can someone come to the piano for a moment? The measure of your judgment in the last day is not going to be in portion to how many bad things you've done. Contrary to what people think, it's not going to be in proportion to how many bad things you've done. It's not going to be all the wickedness you've done, but how much of the light you have rejected. Harvest time, church, it's too late. You've been rejected to the light too often. Not just in this church, but many of you grown up since you were little children. Some things might have been legalistic. Yes, I understand that. Some people come from a very legalistic background. I understand that. I understand that you may have a story that tells of much pain in your life. But don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, I don't know how else to say that. Don't throw out the truth just because there was some legalism and some wrong. Amen? God still requires us to be separated from the world. You say, well, I've talked to people who've come out of very legalistic churches, and that church was, that pastor maybe, and those people, maybe they were extremely legalistic. And they say, well, you know what? I know that's not God, so I'm going to move in a different direction. It wouldn't damn your soul because you're going against the word of God. I'm not saying everything on this side's right, but you better get to the middle of God's word. You better find out what God's word says. And listen, don't get bitter at God because somebody misled you or led you down the wrong path. The measure of your judgment in the last day will be to the portion of light you have rejected. John says this in our text, and this is condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If you love darkness rather than light, you're probably going to go to a church that's not going to preach on sin. Listen, you're not going to be judged by what the preacher says. You're going to be judged on what this book says right here. Well, I'll go down here. They let me do some things. God don't let you do anything that he's against in this word. I've told the story. There was a man that I knew. He worked in a business here in Tyler. And good brother. He told me, he said, man, I really like you. And I like it when people say that. I mean, everybody wants to be liked and loved. And I said, well, thank you. And he said, you remind me of my pastor. And he started telling me where he goes to church. It's a reputable church in the area. And he said, man, you remind me of him. And I said, well, thank you. And a couple of days later, he let something slip out of his mouth. He said, I'm going to go home and drink a cold beer and eat some pizza. And I turned around and looked at him. I said, what did you say? And he had that look on his face. And he said, I'm going to go drink some cold beer. And I said, you went to Southwestern Assembly of God Bible College? When did you start drinking beer? This man is, I'll just say, he's above the age of 55. And I said, let me ask you this. He said, I would come to this church, he said, because even the church we go to, they know that this is a solid church. He said, a lot of the Pentecostal Assembly of God, they've gotten so far off, they don't even preach anymore. They're just crazy. Some of the people are crazy. I said, well, Let me say this to you. He started going to this other church. And I said, had you ever drank a beer in all your life before you went to that church? And he just stared at me. And he said, no. Because if the light is not exposed on that thing right there, do you hear me? That light will save you. It will save your life. The light of the gospel will save your life. And I said, hey, man, you never drink a beer. I'm not trying to blame the pastor of that church. Not solely, but partially. And the foundational theological viewpoint, I said, man, are you out of your mind? The Bible says no drunkard. He said, well, I don't get drunk. And my question to him is, when does God consider it drunk? You don't drink beer just for the taste. You drink it for a little buzz. I used to drink it. I know. Because it tastes terrible, unless you're an alcoholic, and then it tastes good. Are you with me, church? I'm just shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I once partook in that mess. I once was bound by the powers and the chains of sin. I was empty. I was an old Pentecostal boy raised in church in the Assemblies of God. I still remember whenever I was in that church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Victory Assembly of God. I still remember the moving of the Holy Ghost, the preaching of the Word of God. I still remember this preacher we had, he died at 29. But he was about 6'4". He was a preaching machine. Still remember the moving of the Holy Ghost. Still remember that. My body as a teenager was in that sanctuary, but my heart was in that world. You can backslide in your heart and never be a partaker of that world. Why? Because you have been in the midst of darkness and you get used to the dark. And you wonder if it's really wrong. What we need to do is open that book again, get back to that altar again, cry out to God again. Lord, help me. Help me. I want to be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, but I don't want to get used to Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, Lot didn't have to go into that city. He chose to go into that city. I'm not telling you to leave the city. I'm just telling you this. We work in a world. We have jobs where we're in the midst of wickedness and perversion. You can't help that. We're in this world. But you do choose your free time. You choose what you do. You choose what you watch. You choose what you feed upon. Listen to me. Whatever you eat, you will become. Are you getting used to things? This is my question to you this morning. Are you getting used to things and accepting things at one time you would have never accepted? Are you compromising the word of God to get along with people? Have you let down your standards because you hated being different? And there's a multitude of other questions I could ask. If you can say yes to the basic question here, have you let down? Have you backed up? Have you let some things go? You may be getting used to the dark. Change is not all bad. Christianity is all about change. You say, well, when I counsel people in marriage, if I ever hear this, well, he keeps trying to change me. She keeps trying to change me. Well, praise God. If it wasn't for my good wife, I'd be a bad person right now. I mean, the Lord, I give God the glory for it, but it's my wife that had to really bump the rough edges off of me. Christianity is all about change. I'm to change every day. Have more of Him and less of me. I'm to pull away from this world. I'm to grow. I'm to get off the milk of the word, like Paul says, and start eating the meat of God's word. I'm to grow. I'm to develop. I'm to change from glory to glory to glory. Change is not bad if it's for God and for the kingdom. But when David Wilkerson preached that message, you're changing. You're changing. You're not what you used to be. You don't stand where you used to stand. You don't do what you used to do. You're changing. You could be getting used to the dark. Can we stand?
Be of your soul has had a plan for you to change your mind according to the word of God, against the word of God. Today, saith the Lord, I have shined my light upon the lies of the enemy. Today, saith God, you are to get it right. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of conviction upon your life. You are not promised tomorrow, saith God. Come to me today, and I will restore. I will illuminate your life again, saith God.
Oh, Jesus.
Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As they begin to sing, I want you to hear me. There's a lot of things that God spoke to this congregation this morning that I didn't even name. There's a lot of things. A lot of things. There's a possibility you could be getting used to the dark. It's one thing for me to deceive you, for me to lie to you. That's terrible. Man, that's terrible. But it's something altogether different for you to lie to yourself. When you lie to yourself, you're in trouble. When you've deceived yourself, you're in trouble. That's my greatest fear in this life. I know I'm saved. I know I've passed from death unto life. My greatest fear is to walk in an area that I'm thinking that I'm right, and I've gotten away from the word of God. Don't listen to man, listen to God's word. Test everything by the book. Please, I beg of you. Jesus said, if it were very possible in the last day before the Son of Man gets his church out of here, even the very elect would be deceived. The ones who know the word of God, I believe he's talking about those who grew up in Bible preaching, Holy Ghost filled churches would be deceived in the last day. Brother Matt, how is that possible? How is that possible? They got used to the dark. They started being able to see. Hey, man, ain't that bad? Ain't that bad? I've had it all wrong. They had it all wrong. If you're used to the dark, you're heading on a one-way path to destruction. God can help you this morning. He loves you. If I could describe just for about 60 seconds the love of God, there's no way I could. You say, Brother Matt, I've gone too far. No, you haven't gone too far. You wouldn't be in this sanctuary today if you've gone too far. You would not be here today if you've gone too far. Brother Matt, you have no idea. I've rejected God. I committed this sin. I've done this. You have no idea. I don't have to know. God's merciful. He's kind. He loves you. You say, I just don't know if he can save me. The Bible says he can save you. I deal with people all the time who just don't feel like they can be saved because they've gone too far. You have, if you're in this sanctuary today, you have not gone too far. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. I want us to do this morning. I want us to all come. I'm going to lead anyone to the Lord that needs to find their way back to God, but I want us to come. I want you to stand as close as you can to this front platform. Everyone who can to come. Lift your hands to heaven as you come down here. This world is getting darker and darker and darker. It will become a crime if Jesus tarries to be a Christian. I believe that in the United States of America. Let's move all the way across the sides. We got a lot of folks here today. Let's move as quick, as close as we can. It'll be a crime to become a Christian or to be a Christian. I'm telling young preachers, my pastor used to tell me, he'd say, son, every time you get a little extra money, buy you a good book, good Christian book. You know what I'm telling people? I'm telling young preachers, if I were you, I'd go ahead and, because Amazon's, they're going to take the Bibles off. It's a matter of time. They call it hate speech. They call it criminal acts because of what we stand for, because of what the Bible declares. They call you a hate monger because you stand up for truth. Listen, we want all men, as God wants all men and women to be saved, no matter what your sin is. But you can't continue in that sin and be okay. You cannot continue in that sin and be okay. There must be a repentance. There must be a turning. Listen, you'll never be joyful. You'll never be fulfilled or happy until you turn from it. I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now. Heavenly Father, I preach to you, to these people, what you have given me today. Lord, it's your word. It's your truth. It is forever settled in heaven. The word of God cannot fail. I cry out to you today, Lord. Lord, as you have brought conviction in this house, you know every intricate detail of every life. You know where we are. I'm not their judge. This preacher is not the judge of anyone in this house. Lord, you said we are to judge ourselves, that we be not judged. Help me. Help me today. Help Matt Gregory today to judge myself. Have I gotten used to the dark? Am I allowing things on my phone, television, conversation, company that I normally would not have allowed? Help me today. Help me today, Lord. Convict this heart today. Oh, God. I just want you to cry out to the Lord where you are right now. Cry out to the Lord in repentance. Just get honest with God. Just tell him what's on your heart right now, because he already knows. There's just something about that verbal confession when you make it.
Hallelujah. I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me.